Blog Talk Radio.
The year is 2020, the number. Another summer, get down. Down to the funky drummer. Music ain't the hardcore, I know you got soul.
The information age got him seeing what's really wrong with these racist days. I honor the strong and pity the weak. Your thoughts run your life, be careful what you think. Haiti beat France in century 17. Salute Toussaint and Dessalines. And I do love France, know what I mean? It's a system I'm talking, nobody's agreeing. They say it's suicide when dead bodies are swinging. Cowards are hunting black men, that's what I'm seeing. How many toasters have been burnt down? And once Central Park was a thriving black town. Yo, Chuck, I'm fighting the power right now. Thanks to you, Flav and P.E. putting it down. Putting your life on the line so I can rap now. The next generation still singing Fight the Power.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power.
Policing they wanes, ignite over the law. Yeah. Wanna give a short stick, but we really need a long. To the boys in the hood, got some bullets and batons. From boys in the hood, triple K's on the arm. Four fingers on my palm, screaming fight, fight. Change the policy, defund, buy back our property. Yeah. You love Black Panther, but not Fred Hampton. Yeah. Word to the Howards and the Eggies and the Hamptons. Yeah. They book us, won't book us, I'm Booker. P. Washington, George Kill, 420. Think about it, that's 2,000 pennies. Yeah. The value black life, the cost of going to Wendy's for a four-quarter burger. Murder. Fight for Brianna and the pain of her mama. Gotta fight
the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We got to fight the power.
Yeah, generations is how long we've been at war. The revolution on our platform. You break a man's mind in his back. Solidarity is what I'm wearing all black for. For comrades who don't fought without me. It's not to try and change our thoughts about me or to redirect your reports about me. Dear white people, you should take a course about me. Cause is it the long ding-a-ling, four-finger ring? The sciences of the arts, the songs we can sing? I really want to know why y'all so scared. Probably because the promised land, we almost there. But look, I think of images that fuel my youth. Interviews by Craig Hodges and Abdul Raouf. Examples like Olympic black power salute, the Panther truth. I saw as I pursued my truth. If racism is the cancer, black thoughts the answer. Gotta get up off the back porch. Emancipate your mind. Get your body back from ransom.
Come on!
And all black hands up for the anthem.
Yo, yo, check this out, man.
Bring that beat back, man.
Bring that beat back.
People, people, stronger than this evil, smashing your power structure, melanin royal regal, system designed to kill and unprotect, worldwide hit the streets just to get some respect, our fight and our rights for freedom will never waver, Justice Breonna Taylor, salute Chuck and Flavor, still the same anger since Radio Raheem died, black power to the people, push forward pride.
Fight the power like it's the Octo, born to fight, I made it off the block though, thought he had a gun and he was black, that's the combo, the police killed George having a convo, they killed Malcolm X, they killed Dr. King, they gave us guns and dope, they want to stop a king, trying to erase my history, stop and think, history class ain't tell us about Juneteenth, cops don't give a damn about a Negro, pull a trigger, kill a Negro, he's a key, bro, fuck living life on welfare, the last one who cared was Obamacare, round 12, nose kind of bloody, gotta keep fighting, through the North Korea, they respect violence. If you ain't trying to have your city on fire, put some respect on our name. We come from gold and diamonds.
Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. We got to fight the power that be. Elvis was a hero the most, but he never meant shit to me. You see, straight up racist and sucker was simple and plain.
Motherfucking in John Wayne.
Cause I'm black and I'm proud. I'm ready, I'm hyped for some amp. Most of my heroes don't appear in those stamps. Can't buy nothing but rating for 400 years if you check.
Don't worry, be happy.
Was the number one jam. Jam if I said you could slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Come on.
What we got to say.
Yeah.
Power to the people, know the lay. Make everybody see. In order to fight the powers that be.
Peace, peace. Definitely peace. I'm going to need some of that. Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. You're listening to Panther Power Chat Open Rant with Cleveland Moore and Kevin Crosby. Brother Cleveland is not with me today, so y'all stuck with me. But we're going to make it happen. Got a lot on my mind, and I hope all of you do too. If you want to get in and vent and rant with me a little bit, and who knows, we might even come up with an idea that might work. Call 516-387-1261 and press 1. I will open your mic, and you'll introduce yourself, and, you know, let us have it. You know, let's see what we can find out that we didn't know. The object is to get some shit off your chest and put something in your head, hopefully. I'm going to start pretty quick. I'm going to jump in, you know. I am going to talk about what's going on with the Breonna Taylor thing. We'll get to that in a second. A couple other things that we might want to look at while we're looking at that, though, you know. One of the first things I wanted to rant about a little bit today anyway, I was asked a question earlier today. And I like that the question was asked. That's why I love people asking questions. Even geniuses will ask a question. And the question that I was asked was a good one. The question was about why, you know, is there this disdain at this time for the Democrats considering, you know, the state of affairs? And I had to, you know, the answer that I gave, which was, you know, my answer, but I feel it's what's going on, was that the shifting of blame, no matter what the situation is, there's always a way to blame someone else. The funny thing is that the left-wing Democrat and the right-wing Republican are just wings on the same bird. The bird can't fly without both wings. So, that anger that is there is really a faux pas. There's not no real anger there, because when the Democrats decided they wanted to do states' rights and help institute 150 years or more Jim Crow, the Republicans sat by and let it happen. Okay? They let it happen. And when the Republicans did shit like, you know, allowing blacks to vote and letting them come part of the Congress and everything else, the Democrats didn't like it, but they kind of had to live with it. So to me, if you know, it's kind of like the for that white family, the racist uncle that makes everybody uncomfortable probably every Thanksgiving or whatever. You know, it's kind of like that. You know, you don't agree with him, but you ain't going to kick him out. He's still going to eat. And that's kind of what we have in our political system here. This is why, you know, when I was being chopped on for stating my statements about Kamala Harris, which I still feel. So for all of y'all that chopped on me for it, then you can chop again. We'll see in 4 years if you still think she's your friend. But anyway, those that wanted to chop about that, that's because it shows their faith in a system that has continuously denied them. And your religion has kept you humble so that this way, no matter what your instincts told you, your fear of this invisible entity raining hell on you kept you from doing anything while hell was being rained on you. Still is. And that's not telling you not to be religious. It's telling you to be smart. Any religion that tells you not to ask a question is not a good religion. You're supposed to ask questions. So I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit because we are, you know, we are a very short time away from them selecting a new key holder to the White House. So once again, the pandering has begun, you know. That's the way I look at it. So to hell with that election, because as far as I'm concerned, this country was way fucked up before Trump ever took over. And it'll be fucked up after he leaves. So don't see much change coming there. The other thing that I wanted to touch on, well, actually, I am going to jump towards the Breonna Taylor thing for a minute, because I do want to, I know that there'll be some comments about that situation later, but just to put some things into perspective, for those who may not be aware of it, Breonna Taylor was killed on March 13th during a no-knock warrant, where they came in, and on a no-knock warrant, they're not required to let you know that they're there, so to shoot down one of the things I heard from the coon, Cameron, whatever his name is, the attorney general of Kentucky, that they did announce themselves. Well, then what was the sense of having a no-knock warrant for a drug raid if you were going to announce yourself anyway? And if you had announced yourself, then you're basically saying that this man stood there just waiting to shoot you because you were police officers. We know that's not true. The Breonna Taylor wound up being shot and, you know, and murdered basically in her home, and no one is going to be held accountable for it. The charge that the cop was given was basically tantamount to reckless endangerment, class D felony, no real jail time, nothing. So, and he's not going to do a day. He was out of jail in minutes, so he's not going to do a day. So let's be realistic about what our thoughts was on that. You just gave the family $12 million, okay? And then you board up the city and impose a curfew. So who thought that that meant that they were going to charge these cops with murder? Let's just be real about that. We all saw and knew what was going on. We knew how it was going to go. Why? Because we've been down this road before. Ain't nothing new about this. We're at a, and I see you call. I'm going to let you open your mic here in a moment. We've been down these roads too many times. And when you walk a road enough times, you know exactly how long it takes you to get anywhere you're going on that road. And our people are being murdered by the police, which they've been, it's been happening for over 100 years plus now. And it doesn't seem to be slowing down. It has happened during pandemics. It has happened during the Depression. It happened after Depression, during the war, after the war. It doesn't matter. It just don't matter. When the skin you're in is deemed a sin, then you have no right up under them. It was, I believe, what was that? It was a justice back in the day, Roger Tabin, or one of them. I have to check his name, but he was the one who had made the statement that blacks had no rights that whites were obligated to, you know, acknowledge. And statements like that, you know, let you know where the heart of this country was. But then we have a president now who says some of the same stuff. Other members of Congress and the Senate who say these things and don't think nothing of it. So we have to actually, us knowing our worth is way more important than allowing this system to place a value on us. And I'm going to say that again. Knowing our worth trumps, for lack of a better word, the system placing a value on you. And that crosses color lines, that crosses gender lines, that crosses sexual orientation, or any of that. It crosses all of that. When you know your value, nobody else can play you. When you don't know your value, you'll accept anything. You'll accept anything. So, you know, just that was where I wanted to touch on that. The one other thing I did want to touch on is, and this is more on a personal tip. I have a situation going on with an elderly parent. I'm dealing with a nursing home situation where I have to do some things to change that, the way that's working. But the other thing I wanted to talk about was the systems that are in place to help take care of our elderly. We have to actually reevaluate our value of our elderly because they are extremely valuable to us. What I saw yesterday, personally, for me, it was heartbreaking. It made me very angry with the system. I got very angry with myself because I felt this was not a good place for her to be. I'm not medically equipped to take care of those things, but I'm about to have to be because she can't stay there. What I saw, you know, our elderly deserve the right to, if you get to be, get to have longevity in this country, then I feel you deserve the right to get some peace on the way out. And especially for my mother who, you know, at the age of four was in those fields sharecropping in Mississippi. And she had a very, you know, a very eclectic life. So, you know, I'm looking at her having, I don't want her to go out the way I see her going out, so I'm going to do that. But what I was looking at was the systems that we have in place and thinking, why aren't we people of color, you know, and those that aren't, that want to be involved, trying to put together better institutions for our elderly to make sure that these places are held accountable, you know, because we have to remember they make money by bed space, and the average price to have them in there, if you have a 100-bed facility and you're getting $3,000 a month per bed, well, you know, do the math. So the object is to keep the beds full, you know, and, you know, the care, the level of care and all of those things have to come into question when money is on the table. Anything that's for profit, you have to look at the purpose of the business is to make money. And I would like to see a situation for our elderly where it's more about their comfort and care on their way to their transition. You know, so, but that was on a personal tip. What I am going to do, though, I do see I have someone who wants to jump in and rant with me, actually a couple of people real quick, so I'm liking that. So I'm going to open up your mic, introduce yourself, and state your case, and then we'll go on to the next. I do the first one I'm going to open up, area code 206. Your mic is open.
Hey, brother. This is Marcus. I'm in Cleveland. And first, my thoughts to you on your personal situation. As somebody, that's how I ended up in Cleveland. I'm from California originally. I was my grandmother's hospice worker or hospice caretaker.
Well, okay.
And I had the I had the opportunity to do what not everybody can do. And I'll say that's not something for everybody. So you saying you weren't medically equipped at the time, I completely understand that. So my thoughts are beyond with you because I'm empathizing. And you're right with that. With what you're saying is that the system is designed to make money. It's not designed to for comfort. So, yeah, I would advocate for anybody to personally take care of these people, but also understand that if you are failing in that, then you have to give it to try to find the right facility because it ain't it for everybody to bring these people home. But that was not where my head was. I was thinking about unity, and you kind of touched on some things, and I was trying to figure out how do we get people to look past their cleavages, like you were talking about, or their political cleavages, like, you know, their sexuality, their religion, their gender, their, it's like, none of these things matter in the long run if we can't all come together. If you allow each of these things to separate you and to be divisive for you, on top of the fact that the system teaches us all to be egoistic, to not work towards altruism, not to work together, it's just, I don't know. My struggle is how do I get people to look past their cleavages to understand that we all being attacked. Like, it's like I had a conversation with my cousin, and he's a homosexual, and that's, I don't feel no way towards that. It's not here or there, but that is his fight. His fight is more towards his sexuality than being a black man. And I'm like, how do I get you to understand that before they know who you sleep with, they can see the color of your skin? And not that you should not fight for everything that's about yourself. Not that I wouldn't fight for you about that. But
right.
to just completely ignore, to completely think that this is going to be, I don't know, maybe I'm not saying it right, but it's just like, I don't understand how I get people to look past these cleavages. And I was wondering, like, you know, how have you been successful in trying to get people to see these cleavages? How are you getting people to work together and unify? Because, I mean, a lot of the stuff you were saying in the opening, I came in at the beginning when the song was playing. You write, you know, about Kamala Harris. I mean, you know, I ain't here to just agree with you, but I'm like, I mean, with Kamala Harris, I'm like, yeah, I'm like, come on, man. Like, this is, I don't understand how people don't see it. I just don't. I just don't understand how people don't see, like, you know, these people are not here for you. And if they were here for you, we'd already be in a better situation. So you wouldn't even have to be asking for the things that you're asking for because they had already been working on them. So,
exactly.
I guess my big thing and my rant right now, you know, with the Breonna Taylor thing, and, you know, it's like, well, black men got to defend black. It's like, we all black. We got to defend each other, period. As a black man, I'm going to defend everybody. I'm going to defend the black kids, the black woman, the black trans, the black homosexual, the black Christian, the black Muslim, the black atheist. I don't, you know, the black Hindu, like, whatever you want to be. Like,
the only thing
black,
I don't defend is the black coon. Anything else?
But I wouldn't even put black on that. But you're right.
You know, I hear that. That's true. Because they definitely ain't being that at that time. Let me ask you a question, though.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, it was something that you had said there. I want to make sure I you know, because it actually caught my attention. When you were saying about the way that, well, actually, hold on, because I think I might have lost it, because it was somewhere that you, the way you said it, and I was like, I like how you put, oh, I got it. It was the way that you had put that about them. You were asking kind of about the, how do you get people, how have you been successful to do that? And to be honest with you, I don't feel I have been successful with it because I don't feel that I've been able to touch enough. But I also do feel successful if I was able to touch one, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense.
Because everybody's not going to get it. Everybody doesn't level up at the same speed, and everybody is not that curious or curious enough. They want to know why Cardi B and Offset are getting divorced, but they don't want to know why their interest rate is going to be way higher on a loan than their white counterpart who is living the same way, make the same money, same situation. And they don't want to understand why that works. They don't want to understand why the person who begged for 2 years for their vote, you know, can't show you anything tangible for that vote.
Nothing.
And
I mean,
then they'll go to church and they'll tithe and they'll pray about it.
Cause that, I'll be honest with you, that the, you know, you spoke on the Democrats, and it's just like the big thing, the biggest slap in the face for me was, well, not the biggest slap in the face, because that's a little hyperbole, but when Joe Biden said if you don't vote Democrat or however he phrased it, you ain't black, it's just like whoa. It gave you this, it really, to me, exposed. It was kind of like they pulled the curtain back. I'm like, when you got these two 70-year-olds out here. 70-year-olds, a lot of times, just speak their truth. Older people just kind of just give you the truth sometimes because they don't know how to mask it anymore. They don't know how to play that social game that a lot of people play. But I say that to say that with Biden saying that, it kind of just showed me that y'all take our vote for granted. And when you say tangible, it's like, what tangible thing are you giving me for my vote? If I vote for you, whether it be Biden or Trump, what do I get in return? Every other group that comes to you gets something tangible in return. They say, oh, we're going to put this program in place for the Asian community because, you know, when Seattle or whatever, when they got hit with COVID first hit, well, we got to make sure the Asian business owners that are not getting any money because people think it's all China. Like, you guys put a specific bill in place for Asian business owners.
Right.
Like when does that happen for the African-American community? When does that happen for black people? What does that happen for us specifically? I'm like, the people that were in internment camps in World War II got their money. I'm like, what happened about slaves
But putting that into perspective, they didn't get that money Reagan was president.
Slavery happened way before
that
and we ain't seen
Reagan gave them that money.
It's just it, for me. It's just when are we gonna get something tangible? And I don't know if it, you know. I always push back to where I started with the Cleveland people not coming across these political cleavages, just allowing everything to separate them from the next man. It's like, when are we gonna be able to come together to get something tangible? Like, I don't understand why we can't get Joe Biden to say defund the police. We can't get him to say he gonna do something about Breonna Taylor. I don't understand how you want me to separate. I don't understand how you want me to feel like Kamala Harris is my sister, as y'all try to essentially make it seem, and I don't see the difference between her and Coon Cameron. Like, I don't. I'm like, attorney general. Locked up black people? Locked up black people. Don't fight for black
and
people.
And would not prosecute police. I tell people, watch Fruitvale Station. You're going to be mad at the end, but she's the reason none of them cops ever did a day.
Exactly. I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss when it comes to this. So, you know, the question remains and the challenge is out there. If the people can somehow work past these cleavages, because I'm like, just because you sleep with some person, and I think we also got to get past our, people have these things because of, let me make sure I say this correctly. I don't want to attribute it to anything, but people have hate in their heart a lot of times. It comes from ignorance or just not knowing, but I'm like, why? I don't understand why people worry so much about the next man, because sometimes you got to have allies, and your allies ain't going to always be perfect. As long as they ain't in your way,
right.
I don't worry about who you sleep with, because that ain't got nothing to do with me. I ain't worried about who you pray to, because that ain't got nothing to do with me. Now, if that who you praying to or who you sleeping with is directly in the way of me and mine, now we got a problem. But that's rarely the case.
Right.
Now, the people in charge of, the charge of the religion might get in my way. That's different. But who you praying to privately, that ain't got nothing to do with me. Who you sleeping with privately ain't got nothing to do with me. So I don't know why people allow these things or go out on these things. Like you say, you fighting for black people or you fighting for this, but because this man do that, now you can't even deal with him. You just alienated a whole thousand millions of people. So if you reach one, you feel successful, and I definitely agree with that. I'm just like, you got any strategies for us, or some words or something, some movie, anything, that some metaphor, something that because I'm just. I'm at a loss when it comes to it, sir.
I got a few that I could suggest. Far as books, I would suggest Francis Cress Welsing, definitely. The ISIS Papers. The New Jim Crow with Michelle Alexander. Miseducation of the Negro, a few others. There's some good stuff out there for those who want to learn some tactics, but before you can even crack that shell on a lot of people, they have to crack the shell. You can't. They're not going to be receptive to anything you're saying until they're ready to be receptive to it. Other than that, you can talk to a brick wall and get more of a response. So, that starts with planting the seed and hoping that it nourishes and it grows. Because a lot of seeds get planted that never produce nothing. Okay? So...
True.
We have to be, we have to be consistent. We have to be, try to be rhetoric free where you can and do a little research. So, and leave yourself room to learn something from that person that you're also trying to enlighten, because they're going to give you some things that you may not even have thought. We learn something no matter what we're doing. That's what evolution is all about. And we're still evolving, and without that evolution, there can definitely be no revolution. So
True. That's
where I would put that. I want to keep you on. I'm going to keep your mic open. I want to bring on this other person. They are in the queue waiting. 773,
okay.
I'm opening your mic, and you can go ahead and introduce yourself and get your rant on. And we'll run on these topics. I'm liking it so far. So state your name, state your case. Welcome. I see a press 1-4-7-7-3. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing, Kevin?
Peace, brother. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, waiting for your call, man. That's about all, you know.
Man, that's personal. We'll talk about that after. This is a different thing, man. Do you want to get in on this?
No, man, go on, do your thing, man. I'm going to hang up. Talk to you later.
That's what's up, brother. I'll holler at you in a minute. All right, and I got a 214. I'm going to open your mic. And if you'd like to get in, you may. Introduce yourself, state the case.
Hey there, it's Catherine. How are you today?
Hi, Catherine. How are you?
I am fantastic. And I, first of all, Marcus, I really enjoyed some of what you said. I thought it was very on point and very interesting. And I want to kind of tie into that because, Kevin, you know me. I run a business, and part of
right.
what I do, I also run a show, right, a career show. About all these different professional issues. And one of the things that has just gotten on my last nerve with all of this situation, and I mean my very last one, I thought I was going to snap earlier today, was that people are taking issues that are common sense and spinning them to serve their own prejudice and their own hate. And what I mean by that is, let's take the Breonna Taylor case and any of the others like it, right? And you have this situation where it's common sense that if someone kills somebody or if someone
right.
performs their job badly, they
right.
get fired, and then if they committed a crime as part of performing their job badly, they go to jail. And
damn
or get
right.
prosecuted. So
that's
why
right.
the hell is this even an issue? Why the hell is it even
exactly.
a consideration? And the reason is that people are using these very simple, straightforward, white and black, sorry to use the pun, but it's true, the white and black cut and dry situations.
Right.
And to further their own prejudice. And it's disgusting.
Right.
And when you were talking about, y'all were talking about knowing your value earlier. And I think to kind of further what Marcus is saying about, you know, we need people to actually deliver and people that actually are doing things. And I think
yeah.
that part of that is finding the value as citizens of this country to realize these people work for us. We do not owe this people in the Senate, governors, the president, vice president, we don't owe them anything. They owe us. We are their employers. We are the people to whom they answer. That's how it goes. It is not the other way around. And we need to start stepping up and demanding better leadership and saying, this nonsense you're pulling isn't going to work. That's not going to work for me. We need to insist on better health care. We need to insist on better leadership, like sitting down, like what in the world is President Trump doing? Not sitting down with people, the disenfranchised in this country, and specifically right now, anybody within the black community or the BLM movement, that type of thing. It is common sense that as a leader, you would sit down and talk to somebody, even if you don't understand, even if you disagree with their perspective. If there is a large
yeah.
group who's feeling disenfranchised, and that is angry, and that is telling you something is wrong, that something is bad, and that they are having violence committed against them, you sit down at the table and you work on it. And it is disgusting
right.
that our leadership is, and it's not just Trump. You're not seeing leadership do that right now. And it's gross. And it's causing, and that's ultimately what's causing these problems. Whenever people say to me, I'm tired of the rioting. I'm tired of the protesting. I'm tired of the post. I'm tired of kneeling in football games. I say, then what you need to do is you need to pitch at your damn political leaders because they are failing. They are the ones that are failing.
Right.
Because if they would sit down at the table and have the conversation and put actions in place immediately following that, all of this would stop. All of the things that are frustrating you would stop.
I agree.
They're not.
I totally agree.
so
But let
simple.
Me let me ask you a question about that, though. Let me ask you something, because you touched on some things there, and I agree. And in a perfect world, that Constitution that was written by a bunch of coked-up freedom fighters, which is what they were, okay? That's what
so
they
true,
were.
Though.
You know, that document is a dated document.
Yeah.
And I just feel that for us to still be trying to live under those doctrines, the failure of it is very obvious. So what do you think would get the attention of the powers that be? Because, you know, it is about power to the people, because it never should have left the power. It should have never left from people in the first place, but the system slowly shifted the power from the people to this government, which has been very reckless with our freedoms, so to speak.
Yes.
And
yes.
To know that so many are disenfranchised out of it, even at this time in 2020, what do you think we have to do to get their attention? Do you think what's going on is getting their attention?
I think that that's a step, and I think, you know, nobody ever, people always talk about Martin Luther King, and I'm not going to disparage Dr. King. I'm a big fan of his work and of his daughter's work, but people forget that there were other people that were part of that movement that were just as crucial. People forget that the Black Panther stood at the doors of government buildings with AK-47s peacefully, but with AK-47s. To say, we're not going anywhere, and you will listen. And people forget these things. And I think that, I mean, I'm not for the looting and all that. That's, and honestly, I mean, you and I talked about this. I don't think that a lot of that's even the actual protesters themselves, because I've actually had friends get caught helping groups going behind the protesters doing that stuff.
Right.
But,
yeah, we know there's some insurgency going on there, definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even some of the, you know, state officials have come out and said that, so that we know that. But looting and all that. But we do need to have very big, very powerful displays to remind them, don't forget who you work for. And it always takes – it's so interesting. If you look back in history, it's when the people finally get angry. It always starts peaceful, you know. It always starts with passing out pamphlets and standing in squares, speaking your piece, and now it's social media posts, you know. But it never works until the people get angry.
Yeah.
And I think that's what needs to happen. I think that more and more people need to get angry, and need to have big demonstrations, and I mean just massive tens of thousands of people saying, this has got to go, and marching right up to the door and making them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was waiting to jump in on that one, because that's really –
Actually,
I'm sorry.
Hold you for 1 second. Actually, Marcus, I'm going to hold you for 1 second, because
– No problem.
I do have my brother Melvin wants to get in, and I want to bring everybody in, because if we can do this whole show with no breaks, I'm with it. I don't want to waste no time. So – I want to get my brother Melvin in, because a lot of brain power there, and I respect it. And then as soon as he's done, Marcus, then we will start a dialogue here and actually get some stuff touched on. Catherine, be careful, because some of your white friends might think that, you know, you're going to start liking cornbread and shit like that. Sounded like a black person while you were talking. I'm loving it, though. I love it. So, hey, keep it up, you know. All right. But, let me bring my brother Melvin on and let him get in on this. I need his love right now. My brother, you already know. Make it happen, Captain. How you doing?
I'm good. Peace to everyone.
Oh, by the way, Melvin, Marcus is on because of your live today. Just so you know.
Oh, really? All right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace, brother Marcus. Peace. Sister Catherine.
Likewise.
I wanted to jump right on the Donald Trump and the whole election process. I like what you said about the Republican wing, the Democratic wing, still the wings on the same bird. And the thing is, I don't care for people who choose to try to vote shame people. And that's something that happens a lot within our race, because you don't vote. And I want to clarify this, because our ancestors did not die for a goddamn vote. Our ancestors died for something that we still don't have, which is freedom. And I didn't vote last time because what did we have to choose from? And my thing is this. My vote counts, but my vote also costs. And we never get anything for our vote. And we have to, like I said, and like I've been saying the last few weeks, we have to do what it takes to change the condition. And in order to change the condition, it's all about unity and not coming together for situations like George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Tatiana Jefferson, Bolton John, Sandra Bland, the list goes on and on and on. Stop coming together, and when one of them happens, stay together, and we got to stay on that ass. And when we stay on that ass, then they'll know that we mean business. Because, see, I have nothing against the protesting and the marching, but I'm like this. That shit ain't working. It haven't worked. They sit at home and they laugh and they giggle because they know we've been a clog up the damn highway. That's not going to change nothing. When we start taking our dollars from their businesses, when we start removing ourselves from their entities and organizations and establishments and just remove ourselves, because, see, the thing about it is we ain't never needed them. They've always needed us. And we ain't never imitated. We've always been imitated. We ain't never tried to be like nobody else. People try to be like us. So we've got to recognize the power that we possess and the power that we have. We've got to realize who we are, what we are, and why we're so hated the way we are. The whole voting thing locally, yes, I'm for that. Because we can put people into local positions and we can groom them for these larger positions. I'm all for infiltration. I'm all for being the spook who sat by the door. Infiltrate, bring that information back and overtake. Because it's time for us to overtake. It's time for retribution. See, they not going to atone for the shit that they've done. It's been 400 years and they still skinning and grinning, talking about get over it. So some things you have to take. And with taking your respect, your freedom, you have to be willing to lay down and die for that. If you're not willing to lay down and die for something, you're going to continuously fall for anything. Now, with the Breonna Taylor situation, another slap in the face. Another slap in the face. How much longer are we going to continue this? We done turned face cheeks, butt cheeks. They making cheeks, new cheeks to slap. And we keep on letting them slap. I'm like right now, I'm pissed. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm ready for retribution. I'm ready for the payback. I'm ready to overtake. We have to get ready for power. We have to get ready for control. And the first thing that we have to do is come with a plan of action, organize ourselves, unify ourselves, and get on code and stay on code. We have to build networks in every city across this nation so that we have safe zones, so that when something happens to one of ours, we can take we'll already have a plan of action, something that they won't expect. They expect the reaction. They never saw us with a plan of action. They have never saw us exert our power. Hell, we have never saw us exert our power. And it's about the people. The people. Not these elitists. It's about the people taking back control. And like I say, you have to be willing to make that sacrifice, because the way I look at it, I'm 50. I'll be 51 in a couple of weeks. So it's not about me anymore. It's about those behind me that are coming. And I got to give them something.
Right.
Something to work with. And I'm going to yield on that.
No, well, you know I'm keeping you open, bro. I do have another caller that wants to get in, but I am going to keep my word. Marcus, I'm going to let you go ahead and do your retort, and then I'm going to bring in 647 is the area code. So after Marcus, okay. I'll be bringing you on. Go ahead, Marcus.
I'll try to make it quick to not leave him holding too long, because I wanted to touch on what Cantor has said, and then he brought us some points as well. So I've
got an hour and 15 minutes. We're good. Don't worry about it. Go for it.
All right. So one of the things that, you know, you talked about is, you know, voting with your dollars. This is something that is basically I've always tried to advocate people to do. It's way more important than voting in a booth, because when you vote with your dollars, there's an accountability to that. There's like, well, I'm no longer giving you money. So that changes your power dynamic, because money and power are kind of synonymous. So that's why you're doing what you're doing, is to get money, to get power. So if I'm no longer giving you money, I'm no longer giving you power. It's one, if I go and vote for whoever, but I'm still giving this person money, that I'm giving them power. I'm empowering them.
Right.
People forget, you know, the gold rush, you know, the North didn't win because they got to the gold in California and got the money and the power. But the other thing that I was wanting to say, you talked about the people in power. They have to be uncomfortable. And I believe Brother Melvin really talked about it. It's like that, Mark, it's like these demonstrations is like, yeah, that's cool, but are they uncomfortable? These people need to be uncomfortable in their home. They need to feel just as angry as you feel about Breonna Taylor. You need to feel just as angry and not just giving me lip service and going home and feeling comfortable and going back to work knowing, oh, okay, well, what you can do? Vote me out? I'm going to go get a lobby job. Like, that changes nothing about their life. This is all one big circular thing for them. Like, oh, I'm no longer a senator. Now I'm a lobbyist. So
right.
I'm
and
still making money. I'm still comfortable in my
money
home.
As a lobbyist, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. With less accountability.
Right. No accountability.
So,
lobbyists are never held accountable for the things they push.
For anything.
Ever.
For anything.
Right.
So, and it's like, this cycle that they go through with, and it's all recycled. And you, like you said, it's two wings to the same bird. It's like at some point we got to move past this and make these people uncomfortable, because that's when things change. When you are no longer allowed to feel comfortable doing the things, because the reason that this stuff is happening now is because everybody feels comfortable. Everybody's comfortable. Now, the people who aren't comfortable are trying to do something, they're making noise. But if Donald Trump was uncomfortable, if he really thought that, oh, man, hey, something might happen to me by the police, it changed tomorrow. It changed tomorrow.
Well, it wouldn't have been allowed from the beginning, but here's the thing. That does happen.
Well, I agree with that point,
too. It does happen. I live in New Mexico. There are reservations here. Natives die on the reservation all the time. Right now, while the state has very low numbers, it's still under a pretty serious lockdown, and the Navajo Nation, part of it is New Mexico. Part of it is in the Four Corners up there. And they have shut that off in a way that would resemble Wuhan, China. Literally, you can't just drive into the res and you can't leave. You can't leave. You're stuck there. You know, and so that shows one difference in how they're even now, there's still a separation, that cleavage you were talking about, where the treatment of one versus the treatment of all. And see, and I do want us to touch on some right and wrong that transcends the racial part, because no matter who you are, you know right from wrong. So, but I do want to give this other person a chance to get in. Appreciate them comments, brother. Hang on. I'm going to bring them on. Area code 647, your mic is open. Introduce yourself and let us have it.
Hey, good evening, everyone. This is Patrick. I've just been listening to the conversation. And it's a good conversation. I just have a few points. One of the points is that I don't think that we're comfortable necessarily. I don't think that that's the problem. I think the problem is fear. Every time these things happen.
You're right on that. You are right there. But comfort is still a part of this, though.
Well, the reason I say it's fear is this, and I'm just talking about the men. This has been happening since we reached these shores. And what happens is every time there's a news story about a shooting, we're acting surprised. We're like, did you hear what happened? Can you believe this and can you believe that? And I'm like, I'm not buying it. And I'm one of them.
Right.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the surprise. I'm not buying the surprise every time this happens. We get on these shows and we start talking about white people, what white people doing, even though everybody pretty much over the age of 25 already knows what's going on and what's been going on. We do that because it makes us feel like we're saying something. Because the alternative is to actually say, okay, we're having a meeting next week. These are the things that are going to be discussed. This is on the agenda. We are looking to solve this problem, and everything is going to be put on the table. But that somehow I think we're scared of that. So what we do is we revert back. So we say, oh man, the white people keep doing this, and the white people. And then next month when it happens again, we're going to get on the rails. Oh man, the white people keep doing this and doing that. We gotta get them duck up. We all do. It's the same thing every time. It's the same reaction. And as men, I think that we're scared. I think it's fear. Because the only thing we should be discussing is when is the meeting, what's on the agenda. Everything's gonna be put on the table to solve this problem. It's set. Go. That's the only thing we should be talking about.
How do you make that happen? How do you get? Because have you ever played a game of spades with your friends, family?
Have I ever played what? I'm sorry.
A game of spades, the card game, spades.
Many years ago, I did. Yeah.
Right. Now, in that memory, when you sat down to play spades, were y'all able to just sit down and start playing? Or did you have to have a moment where you had to figure out the rules and the boundaries? Wait. The boundaries had to be set and all of that other stuff.
Yes.
Were you playing with the kitty, not playing with the kitty, all of that stuff? Remember that?
And the time it took to set those rules was an appropriate time frame for the game that's going to be played. It did not take us a year to go over the rules.
Listen, brother, I'm not trying to knock what you're saying. What I'm looking at is, for one, just like I said earlier, it's about being receptive. And you are absolutely right about the fear aspect. You are absolutely right. I will take nothing from that because fear is the biggest issue on so many of the levels. If fear is a big part of it. You know, but our fear isn't the only one at play here, and that's the thing. You see, it's kind of like my grandmother used to say something a long time ago, and I know a lot of others probably had heard it too, you know, about one of them being scared and the other one glad he's scared. You ever heard that term?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the problem is that fear has been pushed as part of the narrative. This is why we get the treatment that we get is because of the fear. We've been taught to fear the police. We've been taught to fear being fined. This is why the guy standing in Central Park bird watching and simply asking the lady to, you know, leash her dog so he could finish enjoying the birds had to catch hell because she felt he was encroaching on her shit while she choking the hell out of the dog.
But But
and she created a fear. Here was what she said to help create a fear, but he was so nonchalant about it, I don't even know if he got it. When she, I'll call the police. And that's something that's said to black people every day in this country by some person who wants to push their agenda or get their, you know, whatever, and that's a fear that has been slapped. It is a fear as a black man when you get in your car to go drive anywhere. If a cop pulls behind you, everything in you tenses up a little bit.
Right, but we know this. And if you're saying that, okay, the fear, they put fear on us. If you know the scam, falling for it is no excuse. There's no excuse to fall for it. If I say, if I come to you and try to scam you out of $5, and you know I'm trying to scam you out of $5, you're not going to say, hey, I know you're trying to scam me out of $5. Here's $5 anyway. You're going to say no. Once you're aware of the scam, it's now your responsibility to not give me $5 and get scammed out of $5 because you're aware, right? So as long as
everybody
people are aware of what's going on, what's that?
Everyone's not aware, and that's the problem. Getting everyone to be aware is necessary before you can
have
the
meeting.
They have to be aware because if they don't know what they're fighting for, they're not going to fight.
3.5 revolutions and change in government and change in action, they've done a study. Do you know the percentage of a large group or country or whatever that needs to participate in the start of a change of a government? Do you know the percentage? 3.5%.
It's probably a very small percentage. That's usually how it's
3.5%. There's a certain amount of people that come on after, that get on the bandwagon, and everybody's not going to be on board. That has never happened in history, where everybody is on board for the same thing.
It's not about everybody being on board. It's about those that are serious about moving forward with their self-determination being on board. That's what's necessary.
They're on board. But that's where the fear comes in. Because this, just like we're out here talking about this now, we could, and of course you don't want to be saying everything over these, you know, over this medium, but we could be having a high-level conversation on Zoom where we're writing things down and you know, solutions and that kind of thing. So I think the people are there. I think the fear is a barrier. There's other barriers, but I just think fear is a barrier because we're talking now, right? And you're going to be talking next week. And I'm not talking about this show necessarily, but there are plenty of other shows, and we're all talking
about the medium itself in general. I get it.
Yeah, we're talking around the issue. We're always talking around the issue, and we should be planning, and planning includes actually putting something down, figuring out resources, times, dates, who's going to do what, when, what needs to be researched, who's going to come back with it. If you're supposed to do something, we can reach out to you. Hey, you're supposed to have this done next Thursday. Do you have it done yet? Or do you need some help? Is it going to be on time? Because we got to push this thing through. That's the kind of, that kind of planning is what's needed here. And I think this is the fear that's keeping us from doing it. Because I think at the end of the day, we may be planning and we may be coming up with a solution that might be a little scary for us. That's what I'm thinking. But I'll just get your thoughts. And everybody else's thoughts on the line. I want to get you guys' thoughts.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. What's your name again?
Excuse me?
What was your name again?
Patrick.
Patrick, no, you hang out, man. I appreciate it. Hey, look, I want to get the object here is to provoke thought, because once you provoke thought, we can create some solutions. So, please, I appreciate it all. Give it all in, because we need it all. I do want to give Kat and I want to give Marcus a chance to touch on what you just brought up, though. I just would like to know their thoughts on it. So, Kat, you first, Marcus after, and then if Melvin wants to jump in, he would be next. But, Kat, go ahead. The floor is yours.
I am dying on this one. I loved what you said, Patrick. I think that was the exact next step. I think that's the exact next step, what I was talking about. I think you get people the people in power uncomfortable. You make them realize that this is serious, and then you sit down, and you must be organized. Everything has to be very, very organized. There has to be, like you said, there has to be a process. It's kind of a project manager, you know, kind of overseeing it, maybe a few of them, saying, okay, this is what we're going to do on this day. This is how we're going to do this. This is these are the channels. And if you look back to politics in the 50s through the 70s, there was a lot of organization for all of those movements that were pushing for rights and all of that. And that's exactly what needs to happen again, is very distinct organization, taking those next steps, and then getting people to sit down at the table, and also making allies. There are, I firmly believe, in very distinct places, there are allies that are there that can be made, and that can be used, that are already in a position to help make the appropriate meeting happen. But you still have to push to get that, and there still has to be the reason for them to feel like they need to sit down. But I really like what you said, and I do think that fear is a big part of it. Fear is, I think that people are scared. I think that, you know, it's a scary thing to talk about big change, and it's a scary thing to acknowledge when you don't have equal rights. In fact, I've posted in several times about, you know, that women don't have equal rights on a national level in this country, and people skip over it. And people they don't want to hear that they don't have equal rights. And I think that despite whatever laws people think are in place, I think the exact same thing is true for the Black community and for other minority communities as well. There's not, and that's a scary thing, just to acknowledge and to realize that, and that puts fear in people's hearts. And then it's even more scary to say, oh my gosh, I've really got to fight, because, like, oh my gosh, I forgot your name, I'm so sorry, but the gentleman that came on right after me,
Marcus?
Yes, Marcus, thank you. Not Marcus, the other gentleman.
Patrick.
Who came on. Not Patrick.
Melvin?
Not Patrick, yes. Melvin, there we go. Knew it was another M word. There we go, Melvin. He made some really great, really great points about that. And I think, I'm sorry, I've lost kind of my train of thought, but anyway, I think that you just have to, it's a scary thing to form that revolution. And it's a scary thing to realize I have to really fight to get to this next level, but it needs to be done. You know, it's just that time. And I think that everybody needs to come together, and I don't think that it should be just the minority groups. I think that everybody that believes in equality should be standing up and should be fighting, because ultimately we're all each other's countrymen. You know, it is what it is. And I told you this, Kevin, I'm from a multiracial family. And so to me,
we all are. We're in America.
Yeah. It affects my family. This is my family. These are my friends. These are my family. This is my blood. These are my people. These are my people. And they don't have, they're being killed and they're being harmed. And that's ridiculous. And so I think that as a nation, we just need to stand up and we need to fight.
I agree. I actually want to throw something.
Action needs to be taken.
Right. I wanted to chunk something in there. And actually, this is a little bit of history about the white woman's place in America, because the white woman really was responsible for America even happening, because the way that it worked back then was the young lad would come and he would court the daughter of the landowner and marry in to the family. And the dowry that would be given, because that's what it was, would be a land, slaves sometimes, things like that. So it was really her plantation. But in most of the states back then, if you were married to a man, then you were his property. North Carolina still has that law in the books. A few other states, too. So check it out. And whatever you own, he owned. So I used to think, you know, that it was that they were more in a partnership during slavery, but it really wasn't. It was very fractured, because while she had to sit back and take that shit and go to church knowing he's been out there fucking the slaves and making babies and doing all this other shit, she realized he wasn't respecting her either.
Mm-hmm.
But she could not take her anger out on him at that time. And so, you know, the history for white women here, their oppression hasn't been any less than anyone else's here. The only person in America that has never had to validate themselves for being here has been the white man.
True.
That's the only one. Everyone else, white women, immigrants, anyone else, had to, the people who were here already, natives, validate themselves here. But the white man has never done that. Never. So, you know, while when you said that about equal rights, it made me think, I don't want equal rights. I just want human rights.
Yes.
And that was why I had to choose Malcolm X over Martin Luther King, because while Malcolm, you know, preached human rights, Martin got hit in the head with rocks for civil rights, and there's still people dying in the street today.
Yeah. No, it's very true. Absolutely. And I think, and by the way, my husband said something really interesting the other day that I wanted to throw out. My husband is, you know, blue-eyed, pale-skinned. He shaves his head, but he would be blonde if he didn't. And he said, you know, I've had plenty of run-ins with the cops, and I've had my seat cut up because they were just convinced I was a long-haired hippie with drugs in my car and all this. And he said, so I get tense whenever cop lights flash in my rearview mirror, but never once have I feared for my life, and that's the difference.
Right. Right. Everybody should feel apprehension when a cop gets behind you, but why should you have to fear for your life?
Right.
Based on their behavior, you know what I mean? And that's the problem, yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And you're right. Human rights, not equal rights. You shouldn't have to have amendments that say black people have rights and women have rights and immigrants are human beings have rights.
Right.
That's the end.
Human rights. Because first off, if you're telling me I have equal rights, first off, I need that to put into perspective. Equal to what? The right of a pig? The right of a mosquito? The what? What am I equal to?
Absolutely.
And I ain't going to get an answer to that, because you can't say it's equal human right thing because you're not practicing that here. It's not even practiced on this planet.
Right.
I'd have to go to Tibet to find some people who are just being human with each other, and they starving. Them damn monks, the Tibetan monks. That's the only place I'm going to go that I think humanity might still be working, and then I don't know.
Yeah.
Haven't met a whole lot of black Tibetan monks, so I don't know how they would take me there. Just saying. Anybody know, they'll let me know. Because this shit here in America, oh, this is some bullshit. This is some bullshit. And our whole shirt has been pulled off by a racist corporate idiot that don't really even have a corporation or any real money. And basically those who supported him thinking that he was going to be a savior of some sorts. And I wonder how those coal miners in Kentucky who still don't have a job and now they don't have Obamacare, how in the world are they going to get their opiates?
Yeah.
I'm at a weird point with it. I'm sorry, and Marcus, I wanted to go ahead and give you a minute, and then go ahead and Melvin, you can come after him if you like, and we'll keep this rolling because I'm enjoying it and I'm actually learning some stuff here. So let's go, Marcus. My brother.
All right. Well, no problem. I will respond, or I don't know if I necessarily respond, but I will address Patrick in terms of the comfort versus fear. And the way I would characterize it is, forgive the analogy if it doesn't cross over well, but like anxiety and depression, these things go hand in hand. It's not necessarily that it's one or the other. It's like if somebody has anxiety, they most likely get depression. If they have depression, they most likely have anxiety. And with fear, it's like these people fear losing their comfort. Just because things are happening to them, people have become comfortable in the situation they're in. If you lock somebody in a room and then unlock the door without telling them, like let's say you keep them in there for X amount of time, they become comfortable in that room, they're not going to try to open that door. And so the situation that we have here is where you have people that are comfortable with their fears, are comfortable with the situation. And they, you're right, they fear change because they don't know what that change is going to be. Am I, does that mean I'm going to die? Does that mean that we're what comes next? They are comfortable with their everyday. They are comfortable with the threats that they perceive to know and see. They're comfortable with the devil they know, if I'm saying that correctly. So I don't think it's more so like it's a comfort or a fear thing. I think it's the reason when I say comfort, I think because to me, if somebody's uncomfortable, they're going to change. If I make you uncomfortable enough, you're going to do something. If I put a fire close enough to you, you're going to move because you're uncomfortable. So it's like, yeah, it's like you have to threaten. You have to, I don't want to use that, just a little too deep of a word, but you have to literally come after people's safety, the illusion of safety that they have. Because everybody has this illusion of safety. If you didn't, you wouldn't be able to sleep at night. If you just felt like you thought somebody was coming for you right now, you'd be nervous. And so everybody has this illusion of safety. And when that starts to tear it away and they become really uncomfortable, then they'll make a move. And so that's what I was trying to get across before, because it's like, okay, you know, these people in power, they have this illusion of safety that, okay, yeah, they'll like you say, they'll march, they'll protest, they'll do this, they'll do that, but I'm still going to make money, I'm still going to be fine, nobody's going to do anything to me. I have this illusion of safety. So when you have people that are really, really uncomfortable and they can't, like, you can't go to your normal, that something's going to change. And moves are going to be made. And so I guess that's what I was trying to say, because I agree. I agree with Patrick's point. I do believe that, you know, fear is a factor. I do believe a lot of people are afraid to do things. They're afraid. That's because, to me, this is my opinion, they are comfortable with the place they're in now. Not everybody wants to tear down the system. Some people just want to, A, advance their place, or, B, continue to be as comfortable as they are and not get any worse.
Right.
So,
no, you're
that's just really how I felt about that.
You're right there. Patrick actually has dropped off, but I was I liked what he said. I could feel his frustration with how you know, the pattern behavior. But the reason why you have pattern behavior is because most people are willing to only do what's in the defined lines. If you know, it's kind of like, you know, with basketball, you know, there's a boundary. And everything has to happen within that boundary, you know? And we are not there. That's the problem. The masses of people in this country are very comfortable with the way this system is going. And the rest, there is a fear of standing up to the system, because then they're afraid of what might be on the other side of that. Will it be a better system, or will it be anarchy? Will it be a righteous lifestyle, or will everybody have to fight and do all this to survive? And so rather than move, people are willing to sit still and trust someone else, like the government, to provide your security and all of this other stuff. And they convince you how secure they can make you, but yet we get constant reminders of just how insecure we are. Data breaches, all your information taken by some thieves, you know, viruses like what we're going through now. You know, the economy is never going to be the same. We're heading toward a market crash as we speak, and we're really already in one. But the Fed is spending so many trillions of dollars to make it look like everything's good. Mnuchin came out today talking about the growth rate. And I'm like, how is the economy coming back when you have 40 million people out of work? When you have businesses that are not coming back? When you have jobs that are not coming back? How can the economy be getting better? And that's because the Fed has been dropping money into those banks. Remember, banks ain't good. They're not open. They're under the same COVID shit, all digital. And whether y'all know it or not, they're about to, the Fed's about to roll out the digital dollar soon. Don't take my word for it. They'll put it on the news when they're ready for you to know. But it's about to happen. So, you know, what this is that we've been trained in our brain to feel that the power structure is more powerful than us. And as people, we've forgotten Who gave them their fucking power in the first place? When did we give up our power? Because I don't remember giving mine up to anyone. And I damn sure didn't give it to some old fuckers who really don't care nothing about nothing going on here. I have nothing against elderly people. I love elderly people. But it's only so much shit elderly people can do for me. And trying to decide what I need for my life to be content is definitely not on that agenda. Power to the people, truth does mean determination of self. Living righteously, because if you're living righteously, then you're not doing nothing to harm your neighbor. And you don't care about his skin color. And you don't care about his weight or any of this other dumb shit that people are tripping on. Doesn't matter. Self-determined. Okay? There's a gay couple living next door. Fine. Has nothing to do with me. Yeah. And, you know, we have to look at that. If we don't really get back to that form of thinking as a collective, more than likely we're going to wind up behind the eight ball and stay there. Because remember, the system has no love for white people, black people, Native, Mexican, Spanish, African, European. I don't care where you're from. What matters is your money and that you get your ass up and you go do whatever you got to do in America to make that money. So that way the system continues and the illusion continues forward. This is where we find ourselves. So how do we shatter that shit? Melvin, I'll start with you.
Well, you know my answer and
give
plan. Organize. Unify. I mean, it's the only answer. Like
right.
I always use the analogy, I hold up my hand, spread my fingers, because I know plenty of individuals who have talent, skill, but when you bring those fingers together and make a fist, we become more powerful. So the answer is unity. And not, like I say, stop just coming together for these tragedies and start staying together in order to make them stop. Because,
right, yeah.
You know, the singing and, like I say, the actions that we're taking now is not going to make the devil change his mind. You got to get the devil's attention. And in order to get the devil's attention, you got to affect what the devil loves. And the devil loves his money down here. He loves his power. He loves his control. And until we can learn how to work together in the fashion that the best blueprint ever laid, boycotting Martin Luther King Jr., 381 days, Montgomery bus boycott, shut a city down, had them folks begging black people to get back on their buses because they realized that they couldn't make it without the money. And what I don't understand is a lot of us talk about what can we do, what can we do. A lot of things we can do are effortless. Like a boycott is effortless. You do not have to leave your house. It don't cost you nothing. All you got to do is keep your money in your pockets and stop spending with the big box stores, with the big industries. And like I say, when we can start doing that, we can begin to reparate ourselves. And like I say, not saying that reparations are not deserved, because I feel like there should be some type of compensation. If it's taxes, tax exemption, I don't really give a darn about the education system. I think that we should start educating our own as well, because this system doesn't do anything but prepare our children to be followers. So we've got to take back control, you know, and until we take back control of ourselves, we're going to keep chasing our tail in a circle like a damn dog. And
right.
On that, are you?
Yeah, I feel you there. I actually have another caller. I'm going to bring her on. I believe that's Savannah. So go ahead, Savannah. Your mic is open. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Shit. I don't know. Couldn't tell you right now. Still trying to figure it out.
So I really have a question kind of for all y'all. So, in Austin, Texas, they've defunded the police, and I know in a couple of other cities they've defunded the police, and I was just curious, whenever y'all hear that, I mean, is that even anything you get excited about, or does it just kind of sound like a bunch of woo-woo?
Not really. I mean, the Klan killed a whole lot of people, and they didn't have police cars and tasers and shit, so... The funding isn't my issue. It's the way that they police, in period, is my issue. I feel that the cops got a lot of shit chunked on them that shouldn't have been theirs. They became social workers and bouncers and everything else, and that was unnecessary. So that part, you know, that's on once again, you know, laying a lot of jobs on a person who wasn't even qualified for the job they were doing already. You know? So I don't think funding the police, defunding the police changes much. I don't get excited about it because I don't feel that it changes the culture. It's just like with America. You know, 100 years ago, there are certain things that I would not have been allowed to do whether I was in the north, south, or out west. Today, different way of looking at shit, but the policing is still on the same level. Why? Because you can change a law, but changing a law doesn't change a heart. And until people actually start really recognizing each other as human, and that's within each race and externally, interracially, so they start respecting the humanity, everything stays the same.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts on it. Anybody else who want to touch it, feel free.
Marcus, I'll jump in. No, I don't necessarily get excited at the idea of defunding the police. I mean, I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to say a lot of sound like I'm against it, but the term excited, no, for a lot of the reasons you just said. You know, you can change the law, but it doesn't change how it's enforced. You know, jaywalking is on the books. They're pretty much everywhere, but is it enforced? Do people, how often you see people get hammered for jaywalking? So that it's a lot to do with the thinking. It's a lot to do with accountability and holding these people accountable for what they do. He's right. They are tasked with a lot of jobs that they are not qualified to do. They shouldn't be social workers. They shouldn't be called in on mental health situations. Like, that's not their specialty. They come with guns for people who's having a mental breakdown. Like, that's not how you solve that. That's not how that works. I can tell you right now, if you go to a psych ward and they have, because they do bring police in the psych wards, and like where they have people, sometimes need to help restrain people, but they're not pulling their guns. They're just there to help restrain. Like, but out in the regular world, or out in, you know, out on the street, if somebody does that, they're coming guns a-blazing. They're not there to try to decipher that situation. So I mean, yes, defunding the police, I think it's an effort, but to me, a lot of it feels like it's there to pacify. It's there to be like, look, we did something. We're trying to do something. So we did this, but it's like we're not getting different results. It's all like there needs to be something that where there's a, like, okay, here's the goal, and until we get this goal, we're going to keep going. Like, okay, so we defund the police? No. What's the next step? Like, so now I need somebody that's going to hold the police accountable. Now I need to know who's going to do that. So, no, defunding the police in itself is not something I would get excited about, but I'm not against it, I guess is where I'm at. I'm kind of, like, in the middle. Like, okay, good, it's a good step, but what are we doing for that? What comes next? Like, are we Are we going to hold the people accountable that just have itchy trigger fingers? Are we going to hold them accountable for murder? Like, is that, because I mean, we're looking at Breonna Taylor right now. So, like, the city somehow determined that the family deserves $12 million, but the police weren't liable for her murder. Makes no sense to me. Like
bartenders are responsible for how much they serve someone and who they serve it to, but cops aren't. they can just pull whoever they want.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I mean, and to touch on what he talked about earlier with the Dems and the Republicans, not to get too much into either side, but it's all like, nobody's talking about the Louisville DA, the Democrat of the city, punting, you know, giving the ball to the state's attorney who he knew was a Republican. They just thought everybody, and I mean, yes, deservedly so, that the attorney general of that state deserves a lion's share of the blame. Not for the actual what happened, but what happened yesterday. But there were people important. There were people up and to him. He's not the only person. He's not the full. He's not the king of Kentucky. So there are people in place that allowed him to do that. There's a system in place that allowed him to do that. And until those things are addressed, until everybody's held accountable for being complicit in this, it's going to keep happening. So yes, trying to attack one part of it is cool. Like, yes, defunding the police, but you have to talk. You have to deal with everything that's complicit in it. I guess that's just how I feel about it. So I'll let somebody else go.
Well, your answer, Kat. What's your answer to that? Was she able to? She's still on with us? Oh, I think she might have gotten hung. I don't think she did. All right. Well, we still have me and my brother Melvin. I mean, I've answered it. Personally, I don't trip on the police and the funding. Where are you at on that, Melvin?
They can just get rid of the police. I mean,
I ain't mad at that answer either.
You know, I mean, as long as they still around, I feel like whether they have funds or not, they're gonna still terrorize. You know,
right?
That's just what they're doing at this particular point. So
right.
I don't feel like defunding them will stop their momentum. You know, I feel
right.
like dismantling them is what needs to be done. You know, I mean, all the retraining and all of that wasting more taxpayers' dollars, because the problem is these departments have been infiltrated, period, you know, and
right.
that is an internal problem now, and is nationwide. So I don't feel like defunding them would do any good, because, hell, if they doing it for the slave control factor, they'll do it for free.
Yeah.
Just to have the opportunity to get a strike.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And you know, I like that word. They've been infiltrated, because really they have. Because I've always wondered what would happen if the police truly were policing themselves, and that they responded very mightily, angrily, when they found out they had let a racist or someone who shouldn't have been even considered amongst their ranks. Because I know with the gang members, you got to be as tough as the rest of the gang, or at least let them think you are, in order to be part of the gang. You know, and the moment they find out that you're anything other than that, you know, the punishments, the discipline for that can lead up to damn near death. But yet I notice with the police, when they find one amongst them that ain't right, they circle the wagons. They circle the wagons around him. He's protected. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and the funny thing is what you see when that's happening is your tax dollars at work.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah.
There's so many things to that. Because it is,
has its pluses, but that's not going to solve the problem.
at some point, there's so many things I want to get to real quick. And I'm sorry if I'm interrupting, but it's like, some point, the citizens got to hold police accountable. One of my favorite rappers, Schoolboy Q, he said on the I don't want to know exactly what song, but one of the lines he said, that part, the song is That Part, but it's the Black Hippie remix. On the Black Hippie remix of That Part, he ends the song, and he's talking because he's a gang member, and he says, he's talking to other gang members about how you'll ride on another person, another gang member in your hood, but you won't ride on the police when they come to your hood and do something. So, like,
right.
Where are you really being tough at? And the other thing is, like, even if it ain't a gang member, I'm in here in Cleveland. I lived across the street from the park that they shot Tamir Rice at. I was at home across the street when they shot Tamir Rice.
Wow.
So my point in saying it is that they still have the same police chief. They still have the same mayor. They still have the same fraternal order of police. Everybody in that complicit in that is still in the same position, and all we got was a recommendation from the DOJ of what
wow.
they should do, and nothing changed. There's been no accountability in this city because people fear that they don't want to get rid of their Democratic mayor, they don't want to get rid of the Black police chief, but that's the same Black police chief that was responsible, that's his department that shot Tamir Rice, that he was able to go try to get another job in another part of Ohio.
Right.
And he did actually successfully did get another job. So it's just the point. It's accountability. We can get rid of them. But it's like unless people gonna hold them accountable, they ain't going nowhere. Because like you said, they'll do it for free. They'll just walk around doing it. Well, I mean, ain't nobody gonna check me. So what? I might as well. Who gonna stop me?
Exactly.
So it, to me, is really about holding people accountable, holding the police accountable, and somehow the organization of holding them accountable. However,
right.
that's got to be, whether it needs to be physically, like, oh, no, like, you know, something happening on my street, and I see you doing a brother wrong, I'm going to step in. Whether it needs to be at the legal level, where we meeting with the people in power, and now we putting together systems and people in place where communities can hold their own police accountable. Where there's a whole
right.
separate entity that is away from a separate part of government that has nothing to do with your powers, that's not checked by y'all, that holds the people who you want to police them accountable. Like, there needs to be something. There needs to be. It's like what's happened, at least to me, and, you know, I've only been on this earth for 34 years, is a lot of these people in power have become unified. But they've given the illusion to everybody else that there's, oh, I'm Democrat, I'm Republican, I'm this, I'm that. But there's a whole lot of likeness that's being shared at the top because those people want to conserve
yeah.
their power. And if we work together, we can conserve our power. We can keep
right.
it. We can keep it. And we don't have to give it back to these people. We don't have to be accountable to these people because as long as me and you play the charades, it's, oh, okay, this is what's happening. Oh, yeah, I don't like him. I'm like, I mean, when I was young, this wasn't as, and maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, this didn't seem as politically charged. Life didn't seem as politically charged. It didn't seem
it
like,
was,
oh, well, because somebody was a Republican, I'm not even going to go to dinner with them. It's because somebody supports this person, I'm not even going to talk to them. Because we've gotten to a place where we won't even work together because somebody is they believe this, they believe that, or they believe in abortion. They believe in you shouldn't be allowed to have, like, it just whatever, like, you know, back to, not to use the word again, cleavages, political cleavages. They can use the fine to separate people down away from them while the people at the top is all sitting and eating together, regardless of whatever who you're not talking to.
But, yeah, but you even have separation in the political parties. That's the crazy thing. What they're all agreeing on is a side of the ideology, and then the others agree on the other side of the ideology. In the Republican Party, you have the Tea Party, the ultra-conservative, the religious right. You have so many different groups in there. You have moderates. You have some who are, their thought process is almost would be Democrat. You know, it's just that way. And it's the same way on the other side. So those divisions within the power structure lets me know that they would never promote anything that would stop the divisions among us. We have to shatter that, not them. We got to do that.
Agreed.
It's on us.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is on us. And I actually, I'm about to do a wrap up because I actually have something I got to take care of. But I did want to thank everybody for being on. If anybody had something they wanted to say before we shut down, I'll give you that moment now, Brother Melvin.
Enjoy the show. Appreciate you for letting me join you. Join me Monday on the big picture. I don't really know what I'm going to talk about. I'm still debating, but Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. And I,
my brother, I'll be there. My sister Savannah, got anything you want to say before we shut down?
No, not at all. But thanks for answering my questions. Y'all have a good night.
Anytime, I appreciate you. And I appreciate everybody else that came on and had to hang up, Brother Patrick and my brother Walt. And Walt, I'll say it on the show. I'm reading the book, and the book is okay. It's good. That's what he wanted to talk about on the show earlier. Anyway, Marcus, any parting shots before we close out?
Man, I just want to, you know, give my thanks to the really to Melvin, first of all, for even getting me here. Because I don't know if he noticed, but, man, you can talk somebody into doing a lot of things. You a motivator, sir. So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to the both of y'all, honestly, just for having this space and introducing me to this and the fight that y'all carry. Y'all my elders, and I appreciate y'all, and that's just all I have for y'all.
Yeah, I appreciate you, too, and I learned a lot from you. And I did want to let him know, Melvin, we'll catch up with him. I don't know if we can do it tonight, but definitely tomorrow. We'll have a convo and a open here.
Right.
I guess in my parting, I do want to thank everybody who did call in, everybody listening online. You know, anything you want to ask us, maybe a recruitment questions, things like that, the email is thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. We do have a page on Facebook, thepantherparty/peoplesparty, and the Panther Chat, People Chat Group. So there are a couple of ways to reach us. I would like to say this. I heard a lot of things tonight that I actually, they were food for thought for me, and I'm loving that, and I appreciate that. That's why I appreciate the platform that we have at the moment, because it does allow for free thought and a chance for people who probably normally would not sit at the same place to see maybe they got a little bit more in common than they thought. We can learn something from everybody, you know. And I used to have a saying, I can work with anybody, I just can't work with everybody. I still hold on to that because everybody ain't ready. And I think our job is to try to be as ready to have those that do come to us to be ready to walk with them and learn along with them. None of us got it figured out, and we all in trouble right now. Don't matter where you're at, we all in trouble right now. And the only thing we got is each other, so we might want to start acting like that. I do want to thank everybody again. We do appreciate the support. You do hear us. We see we do have supporters in some other countries. We appreciate you as well. We want everybody to start call in and talk on the shows. We do have Sunday at the Queen's Table with Sister Deidre, Sister Jamaica, and Sister Vanessa, 8 o'clock Eastern. Monday, as my brother stated, you know, the big picture with Melvin Siri Jr., 8 o'clock start. The Empowerment Zone with Mark Higgins on Tuesdays, 8 o'clock start, and then on Thursdays, Panther Power Chat, Open Rant with Cleveland Moore and Kevin Crosby. Hopefully my brother will be back with me next week. You know, we are, like I said, we really want people to start, you know, being a little more human to each other. Work on that. Just be a little bit more human with each other. Trust me. The things that it'll release from your brain to make your body feel good, priceless. That said, I wish everybody a good night. Remember, all power to the people, because revolution is in your DNA. Don't ever forget that. Peace out and good night. Thank you for listening to the Panther Party Radio Network.
Yeah. Every hood's the same. Every hood's the same. Come on. They give us guns and drugs. They ain't wonder why you fuck with thugs. They wanna count the slugs. They ain't come around here and fuck with us. You know. They give us guns and drugs. They ain't wonder why you fuck with thugs. They wanna count the slugs. They ain't come around here and fuck with us.
I'm from the land of the gangbang. Since I was little, ain't a goddamn thing changed. It's the same old saying. Bush run shit like Saddam Hussein. I cock and aim, clinically insane. To deal with this bullshit day to day. If I sell some gay or smoke some hay, you bitches wanna throw me up in Pelican's Bay. Call me an animal up in the system. But who's the animal that built this prison? Who's the animal invented lower living? The projects, thank God for Russell Simmons. Thank God for Sugar Hill. I'm putting a different kind of steel up to my grill. Y'all know what it is. Scared for your own kids. How these little niggas taking over showbiz.
They give us guns and drugs. They ain't wonder why you fuck with thugs. They wanna count the slugs. They ain't come around here and fuck with us. They give us guns and drugs. They ain't wonder why you fuck with thugs. They wanna count the slugs. They ain't come around here and fuck with us.
It's boys in the hood, it's toys in the hood. Y'all wanna know why it's noise in the hood? Cause it's drugs in the hood, thugs in the hood. Nigga killed the Crip and the blood in the hood.
For real.
Cause when niggas get tribal, it's all about survival. Nobody liable. I got caught by 5-0. Grandmama.